listening to the podcast of Eucharist Church in San Francisco, a community of faith seeking to live all of life in reference to Christ. Join us now for this week's message.
Ash Wednesday is a peculiar day. It's a moment once a year when we willingly come face to face with something we try to avoid the rest of the year. The fact that we will die. The fact that we are mortal and that our existence is merely fleeting. Much of our lives is devoted to doing everything we can to fight the inevitable. Whether it's health and fitness clubs, Botox, plastic surgery, and cosmetic treatments, or investing in gene editing technologies or radical life extension technologies. Every year, billions upon billions of dollars are spent by people trying to fight the inevitable. And on this day, we acknowledge that we are mortal. As a species, we may have the power to put a man on the moon and the ability to communicate instantly around the world, but the death rate of humanity hovers consistently right at 100%. This fact stands as an offense against any illusion that we may have about our power and our control. Death mocks us by reminding us that no matter how great we might appear, no matter what we may have accomplished, it has the last word. It's not by accident that some of the most powerful people in the world have declared war on death. I'm thinking of the tech CEOs of a number of the multi-billion dollar companies here in the Bay Area. As one article on the quest for radical life extension put it, Silicon Valley wants to make us immortal, and they're accustomed to getting what they want. You see, death is an insult to our pride. It reminds us that however good we've managed to make things, no matter how talented we are, the show can't go on forever. But it isn't just proud people who are bothered by death. It's anyone who cares about there being some kind of meaning to life. It's anyone who has ever loved another person and had them robbed from them by death. A few years ago, a friend of mine who is a doctor who specializes in working with the terminally ill suggested that I read a book called When Breath Becomes Air. Don't know if anyone's read this book here. The book was written by a man named Paul Kalanithi. Paul was a rising star in the field of neuroscience when at the age of 33, he discovered that even though he had never smoked a cigarette in his life, he had developed terminal lung cancer. Paul had spent his entire life cultivating the remarkable intellectual gifts that had been given to him. For his undergraduate studies, he went to Stanford and he earned a double major in English literature and human biology. He went on to get a master's in English literature from Stanford, a master's in history and philosophy of science from Cambridge, and then he went on to medical school at Yale. He then went back to Stanford for his residency and a postdoctoral fellowship in neuroscience. You can see this guy's a pretty sharp character. He was winning awards and was considered one of the greatest up-and-coming researchers and clinicians in his field. It was at the end of this illustrious academic career, right when he was poised to make his greatest contributions to humanity, that he discovered that he had stage 4 metastatic cancer. It had gone to his brain, and it was only a matter of time before he would be dead. Paul writes in his book about the experiences of living with terminal cancer, and it's gripping. He's an excellent writer. He talks about his interactions with his own patients who were also dying. He talks about his wife and about his little daughter who was born only 8 months before he died. Cancer robbed Paul of the opportunity to finish writing the book. So his widow writes the epilogue. It's still emotional about it right now. It was one of the most emotional chapters I've ever read in a book. She details step by step how he dies. Every moment of the way, his last words, his last actions, holding his little baby in the bed as he was taking his last breaths. I was confronted in this book with the senseless cruelty of death. And it ripped me open from the inside out. I gave the book to Elizabeth, and came home one day, and she had like towels next to her, and she was just wiping her eyes, just sobbing. Just a horrible, horrible thing to read, but incredible, compelling. The story of Paul Kalanithi just leaves us with so many unanswered questions. Why was he given such a brilliant mind and the best education the world could offer, only to have it snatched from him right at the point when he's going to be able to use it? Why was he given a wife and a baby, only to leave them desolate? In the words of theologian Herb McCabe, death is the great wrecking ball that destroys everything. Or in the words of another theologian, death suffocates life's meaning and breaks life's covenants. Death is senseless evil. We often hear people talk about coming to terms with death or accepting death. But I suggest that when we try to come to terms with death, it's only because we can't accept the full terrifying awfulness that death really is. Death is the undoing of life. It unwinds the very fabric of meaning. We might reason to ourselves that in some circumstances, death provides a release from suffering, or that it's a better option than something else, or that it's a natural part of life. But when we stop and we really consider it, death in the human context is nothing less than the unraveling of personhood. And so I suggest that one thing we can never do, we can never ever do, is make peace with death. Death is horrific beyond words. It is not our friend. It is, in the words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, the last enemy. It is an enemy that God is bitterly opposed to and has stopped at nothing to defeat. And this leads us to one of the great paradoxes at the heart of Christianity. There are two seemingly contradictory ideas held in tension in Christianity, namely that death is the great evil, a ghastly enemy to all that is good, and at the same time that it is only through death that death can be defeated. The story of Christianity is the drama of God defeating death by submitting himself to the power of death in the person of Jesus on the cross. Death dealt Jesus its most powerful poison. It hit him with its most powerful punch, and it appeared to have defeated him. His life was crushed, his spirit departed, and he was placed in the ground in a tomb. But on the third day, life burst out of death. Jesus came forth from the tomb, forever destroying the illusion that death and the grave have the final word. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Think about that. Death, which has been swallowing and consuming and destroying everything in its path like an insatiable beast, like a black hole sucking everything into itself, has now itself been swallowed by something vastly more powerful: God himself. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And that victory comes, ironically, in the shape of a cross. The very symbol of humiliation and defeat in the ancient world has become for us the icon of victory. And the invitation to each of us is to follow Jesus into the beast, to attach ourselves to Christ, to throw ourselves on his mercy, and to face our own death head on. Jesus himself says this in Matthew chapter 16. He says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross. That's the instrument of death, right? Take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The invitation Jesus offers to each of us is to die young. To die young. To die before we die. As St. Paul clarifies in Romans chapter 6, that the way we do this is by fully and completely identifying ourselves with Christ in the sacrament of baptism. That's what baptism is. Baptism is joining ourselves to the death of Jesus in order that we might be drawn up into his resurrection life. Listen to what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." He says this, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." That isn't my promise. That isn't Paul's promise. That's the promise of Jesus himself. The one who has been through death and come out the other side. It is he who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." In just a moment, we're going to enter into a solemn ceremony of receiving ash marks on our forehead. Let's just be 100% clear about this. What you will be told as you come forward is not good news. It's not. "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return," you'll be told. Those words are a horrific confirmation of our worst fears, that we are fragile, and that we are vulnerable, and that we are ultimately mortal. That left to ourselves, our lives would slip into oblivion, like breath becoming air, like ash becoming dust. These words would be utterly devastating if they did not come qualified by the mark that you received them with. It's not accidental that the ash mark we receive is made in the form of a cross, the sign of Jesus' death. The very symbol of how he once and for all defeated death by death in order that all who entrust themselves to him might have life. And so I invite you to come forward in just a moment and face your mortality. I invite you to die young by joining yourself to the death of Jesus, that you might also experience his life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, would you join me in for a moment of prayer? Father, today we face what we all know is true, that we are mortal, that we are weak, and that we will die. We want to join ourselves to the life of Jesus. We want to be marked by his life, marked by his death, in order that we might enter into his resurrection life. Remind us of our baptism today. Thank you that we can die young in order that we might live forever. Lead us into a season now of penitence and of fasting and of turning ourselves completely to you. Remind us of all that matters. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist Podcast. For more information, you can visit our website at eucharistsf.org.